What if every decision you made, from choosing a career to casting a vote, could be guided by a single, elegant principle? In 1863, philosopher John Stuart Mill proposed exactly that, a moral framework so compelling it would reshape ethics, politics, and social reform for generations to come. His slim-volume Utilitarianism tackled an ancient question: what makes actions right or wrong, with startling clarity. The answer? Actions are right when they maximize happiness for the greatest number of people. This wasn't mere philosophical speculation. Mill's ideas would influence everything from modern healthcare systems to animal rights movements, from effective altruism to policy debates on climate change. What makes this 150-year-old text feel urgently contemporary is its practical wisdom. It offers a moral compass for an age drowning in ethical complexity. For over two millennia, philosophers have wrestled with ethics foundations without reaching consensus. Unlike mathematics or physics, which advance despite uncertainty about first principles, moral philosophy seems paralyzed by disagreement. Competing schools, virtue ethics, divine command theory, deontology, offer conflicting answers to basic questions about right and wrong. Yet Mill noticed something curious. Despite theoretical disagreement, remarkable consistency exists in moral beliefs across cultures and eras. Why? Because utility, the consideration of actions' effects on happiness, tacitly influences moral reasoning, even among those who explicitly reject it. When we condemn theft or deception, we're implicitly considering their negative impact on human welfare. It is better to be a human being dissatisfied than a pig satisfied. Better to be Socrates dissatisfied than a fool satisfied. This declaration demolishes the misconception that utilitarianism reduces human fulfillment to base pleasures. Mill presents something far more sophisticated than critics' dismissal of it as a doctrine worthy only of swine. Would you trade stimulating conversation for mindless consumption of junk food? Most recognize the former offers deeper satisfaction, even requiring more effort. Mill distinguishes between quantity and quality of pleasure. The test for quality isn't abstract reasoning, but the decided preference of those experienced with both types. If people acquainted with higher and lower pleasures consistently prefer the higher ones, this demonstrates their superior quality. No intelligent person would choose to become a fool. No person of feeling would become selfish. No person of conscience would become base, even if convinced these transformations might bring more contentment. Mill acknowledged that utilitarianism cannot be proven like a mathematical theorem. Questions of ultimate ends resist direct proof. Instead, he offered rational considerations, drawing on empirical observation of how we actually make moral decisions. Despite widespread suffering, Mill maintains profound optimism about human progress. Much suffering stems not from inevitable natural conditions, but from imprudence, ill-regulated desires, and imperfect social institutions, evils conquerable through human effort. Historical progress proves this. Diseases once decimating populations are now preventable. Oppressive social arrangements have been reformed. Mill finds noble enjoyment in the struggle itself. Those participating in efforts to reduce suffering discover meaning in the process, not just the outcome. Modern research confirms we find satisfaction in meaningful engagement with worthwhile challenges, not passive pleasure. Throughout history, heroes and martyrs have renounced personal happiness for some end, typically others' happiness. Those who sacrifice personal happiness to increase happiness in the world deserve honor. This perspective challenges both hedonistic self-indulgence and pointless self-denial. The readiness for sacrifice represents the highest virtue, but paradoxically, the conscious ability to do without happiness often offers the best prospect of attaining it. By focusing on purposes beyond ourselves, we discover deeper fulfillment than direct pursuit of pleasure could provide. Utilitarianism faces persistent misunderstandings. The most common? That it requires constantly calculating every action's social utility. As Mill notes, this is like claiming Christians must read the entire Bible before each decision. Humanity has accumulated experience about actions' consequences. We don't recalculate from first principles every time. Another misconception? Utilitarianism renders people cold and unsympathizing. Actually, most good actions target individuals, not society at large. Only those whose actions affect society broadly need habitually consider public utility. Critics dismiss utilitarianism as mere expediency, contrasted with principle, but true utility considers long-term consequences. Though lying might occasionally seem expedient, cultivating veracity is so crucial that violations of truth aren't truly expedient. Even sacred moral rules admit exceptions. Withholding information might prevent unmerited harm, but utility provides a framework for weighing conflicting considerations, whereas other moral systems often leave conflicts unresolved or resort to unacknowledged utilitarian reasoning. What makes moral obligations binding? People find specific rules more compelling than abstract principles, accepting prohibitions against theft while questioning why they must promote general happiness. The principle of utility commands all sanctions available to other moral systems. External sanctions include hope of favor and fear of displeasure from fellow humans or God, plus sympathy inclining us toward right action. These motives increasingly attach to utilitarian morality as intelligence grows, since people naturally desire happiness and approve conduct promoting it. The internal sanction, conscience, is the pain felt when violating our moral standard. In cultivated natures, this makes violation feel impossible. Though conscience appears simple, it's complex, incorporating sympathy, fear, religious feeling, childhood memories, and desire for esteem. If anything is innate in morality, it's our regard for others' pleasures and pains. As civilization advances, people increasingly identify their feelings with others' good, nurtured through sympathy and education, strengthened by political improvements removing opposition of interests. When deeply ingrained, this feeling rivals religious devotion, coloring all thought and action. Justice challenges utilitarianism because it feels absolute rather than expedient. Mill explains that justice combines two elements: the desire to punish wrongdoers and sympathy with victims. This retaliation instinct becomes moralized when extended to injuries affecting society broadly. Rights emerge when society should protect someone's claim. Justice feels absolute because it connects to security, our most vital interest, without which no other good has lasting value. If justice were independent of utility, it wouldn't generate such controversy. Different societies hold conflicting notions. Some say punishment is just only when benefiting offenders. Others call punishing adults for their own good despotic. Similar conflicts arise regarding taxation, proportional versus graduated. These irreconcilable standards require utilitarian resolution. Justice grounded in utility protects essentials of human well-being, particularly forbidding harm and interference with freedom. Impartiality follows naturally. Treating people according to their deserts means treating equals equally. Bentham's dictum captures this. Everybody counts for one, nobody for more than one. Mill's utilitarianism addresses pressing moral questions, from healthcare allocation to environmental protection, animal welfare to global poverty. These principles inform modern medical triage, carbon pricing policies, and effective altruism movements. Unlike rigid moral systems, utilitarianism adapts to changing circumstances while maintaining consistent commitment to human flourishing. Mill's emphasis on quality over quantity distinguishes his approach from crude hedonism. By recognizing the special value of intellectual, moral, and aesthetic experiences, he offers an account of happiness aligning with our highest aspirations. His integration of justice with utility addresses persistent objections to consequentialist ethics, showing how justice serves essential social purposes. Mill's vision combines intellectual rigor with profound humanity. His concern for suffering and commitment to progress infused his advocacy for women's rights, freedom of speech, and democratic reforms that remain urgently relevant today. In an age of polarization and moral uncertainty, Mills' approach honors both reason and compassion. His framework influences debates about climate change, digital privacy, and social impact measurement. The question Mill poses remains vital. How can we create the greatest happiness for the greatest number? In answering it, we discover both an ethical theory and a practical guide for building a more just and flourishing world.